Okay, hello everybody. It's great to be back at SPC. It's great to be back at Vegas, of course. And wow, it's actually hard to believe that it's been more than a year now since we announced the new Office 365 model in 2012. But it's true, back in the SharePoint conference in 2012, we announced a new journey, a new strategic journey that we started to modernize the Office development platform. And this is probably a journey that is going to be a major revision of Office extensibility since we introduced VBA 20 plus years ago. So it's a journey in which we're embracing the web, open standards, to enable new ways for developers to create custom solutions that integrate Office and work great on the cloud, as well as on premises, and can be delivered through devices, desktop or the web. So it's been a short year from that sense, but it's also been a long year. A lot has happened on our side. In the last 15 months, we continue to work on extending the platform. And just last week, we announced the public availability of Service Pack 1 for Office 2013. And from a developer perspective, Service Pack 1 is actually a major upgrade in terms of developer capabilities. And we're going to show you a lot of that in this session. So my name is Rolando Jimenez, and I'm a lead program manager in the Office Development Platform team. I don't have a thick beard like Brian John does, so I don't know if that has to do with my developer credibility, but I do have some great demos and code samples to show you today. So I want to start the session by setting some context. Where is this session fit in the overall picture that we have seen in the developer keynote? So you probably have seen this slide a couple of times already, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this slide, but I do want to remind you about the two ways in which we are making Office very relevant for software solutions. The first one is we are exposing Office 365 as a set of APIs and services that are consumable by websites, devices, PCs. So that allows developers to, in your own endpoints, bring Office services and provide Office functionality right in the context of your solutions. The second way is what we call contextual apps. And contextual app is the reverse direction of that. It's not our services in your endpoints, it's your services in our endpoints. So it's bring your custom service, your third-party web service, in the context of Office. This is all about enabling more than 1 billion users to get the custom functionality that they need inside Office without leaving their context. So think about it. Office is the broadest productivity suite in the planet. So the ability to put custom functionality inside Office and allow the users to be productive with that without leaving their Office applications is a great way to add value and to increase productivity. So in the keynote today, we saw how technology plays a big role in terms of enabling people to do more with less. And that's what contextual apps are about. Enable people to be more productive, to do more with less. So, Apps for Office is the way in which we enable developers to create these contextual app experiences. And today we're just going to spend this session to talk about how do we enable contextual experiences or contextual apps with Apps for Office. So I'm going to do a quick overview or recap of where we are today with Apps for Office, what type of apps you can create with what we have today, what types of apps are being created by partners and by enterprise customers. We're going to spend most of the session talking about what's new in Office 2013 Service Pack 1, And then we're going to wrap up with some takeaways and a call to action. So let's take a look at Apps for Office. So to demonstrate Apps for Office, I want to take a real-world solution. So last week, we announced a strategic partnership with DocuSign to enable high productivity digital signature scenarios built on top of Office 365. And I think DocuSign does a great job in really tapping onto the power of Office 365 and integrating contextual apps in many different endpoints. So let's take a look at this solution. So for this first demo, I'm going to play the role of an account manager at a big marketing services company. And as an account manager, I deal with customers, of course, but I also need to work with vendors. I have all sorts of vendors, smaller vendors, new vendors, existing vendors. In this case, I'm in my inbox, and I received an email from a new vendor. In this case, Gianni sent me a service quote that I requested. And in order to start the project, they need me to sign this quote so that they can kick off the resources on their side. So the first thing I want to show you, and this app, you probably saw it in the developer keynote as well, but you saw it in the Outlook Online client. In this case, I'm using the Outlook desktop client, and the same app works symmetrically in both places. So as you can see, it's a great way to enable contextual experiences. So I can come here and click on my DocuSign app, which, by the way, I didn't have to deploy or install. My IT department deployed this app through a central catalog. So when I come to my Outlook client, it's already there. That DocuSign button shows up automatically on every email that has an attachment. So in this case, I open the app, and the other thing I want to notice is that I didn't have to sign in. I didn't have to sign in because DocuSign, in this case, integrated single sign-on with Office 365, using a new capability that we just released for Azure AD that allows you to sign into your application using Azure Identity. So you can see how I'm recognized as Rolando Jimenez, and the app is asking me if I want to sign this document. So I'm going to go ahead and click on that button, and this is going to take the attachment, upload it to DocuSign, and render it inside my Outlook client. So I don't need to leave Outlook. I can see the document right here in the context of Outlook. I can see the service quote. I can review if those are the terms I agreed. And I can say, yeah, looks good. Sign it and finish. So instead of having to print the document, sign it, scan it, send it back, I just did that in less than 30 seconds with a click of a button. Now I just need to return it back to Janice. I can just click this link. It gives me an email prepared with the document, and I can send it back. I also have this very nice functionality. If I want to keep a copy of the signed document in my SkyDrive, that's one click away as well. And this is using the new Files API that allows me to publish documents to my own personal SkyDrive. So I just click that button, and the app is going to automatically save a PDF signed document in my SkyDrive. So that's all great. Now, how does DocuSign integrate in other applications? Let's take a slightly different scenario. I'm working with another vendor. This is an existing vendor. I have a relationship with them. And they normally require me to send them the statement of work that we manage at my company. My company has this corporate template for a statement of work. And I'm going to open the blank template here, and as you can see, the blank template comes with a DocuSign app. In this case, it's a TaskPin app for Word. But what this app allows me to do, and again, I didn't have to sign in or anything, is it allows me to send this document for signature. In this case, I would have to fill in the vendor information. I'm going to open a document I have here that already has that information filled in. So once I'm happy, all I need to do is, again, say, go to DocuSign, and I get a similar experience. Now, in this case, DocuSign has this great productivity booster feature that it's a template matching capability. So it recognizes the type of template I'm using, and it's automatically going to configure the document with the right signature placeholders. So I accept the template, and as you can see, DocuSign already tagged this document for me. All I need to do is specify which is the vendor that will receive this document. In this case, let's use this. And I can just say send. And once again, in a few seconds, I just send the document for signature with this vendor. Now, the last scenario I want to show you is, as an account manager, I'm also working with a big customer, and we are working in this confidential project, and we need to sign this NDA to get the project started. And of course, this requires a lot of back and forth between me and the lawyers in my company to make sure that the right terms are there. So we've been doing that. We've been using SharePoint collaboration, SharePoint workflow, potentially other apps. But at this point, I have the document ready for sending it back to the customer for signature. I can come to the document library where that document is stored, select it, and I can see DocuSign is also integrated contextually inside SharePoint. So I can come here and send that document for signature. I'll get a similar experience in this case where the document is uploaded to DocuSign, and I can just send it out. See, it is. There we go. In this case, since it's a custom document, I don't have the template matching, but I can drag where I want to have the signature, the date, and then just go ahead and send it. Now, once I send it, I can also track the status of the signatures here, because all these documents are being stored in my OneDrive and in my DocuSign account. So if I come here and say check status, I can actually see which documents I have sent for signature right in the context of my SharePoint app and which documents have been completed, which documents are still pending a signature. So let's just recap of what did we see. So we saw how apps for Office allow you to create contextual experiences across Office 365 desktop and online endpoints symmetrically. From a developer perspective, you don't need to worry about working against the online client or working against the desktop. Your same code base works symmetrically across both. We saw how those third-party services, in this case DocuSign, integrate seamlessly into the experiences inside Office 365. We also saw how we work great with Azure. A lot of this functionality was powered by Azure, like SSO, and you can host your logic inside Azure, and that works great with Apps for Office. And we also saw how the enterprise deployment is streamlined. The users don't need to install these applications. The admin can roll out the application to the entire enterprise and make it available right away. So that is where we are today. Now let's see what is new. What is new in Service Pack 1? So Service Pack 1 is a major upgrade. There's a bunch of features that we added. We added ability to do Compose App in Outlook, ability to do new content apps in PowerPoint, ability to have apps for Office in Access. We added new APIs in Excel. We added new APIs in Word. We did enhancements on the UX and the store. And we, of course, added tooling experiences to support all these new capabilities. So just before I dive into each of these new features, for those of you who are interested in getting Service Pack 1, it's already out. If you have a perpetual license, you can download it from Microsoft Update. If you have an Office 365 subscription, you will get it automatically. And it's being rolled out, started last week, so you will get it soon. So this slide has more information about links on how to get it and how to check if you already got it. Now, let me start with PowerPoint. Let's see what's new in PowerPoint. So for this, I want to ask you a question. I want to know how familiar are you with Apps for Office? Just to get a sense how much detail I want to spend on the next few slides. So this is a smaller room, so I could do a show hands. But let's do it the cool way and use an app for Office to do that and show some of the nice integration into PowerPoint. So in this case, I have my slide deck here. I'm going to edit mode. And we just released this new app for PowerPoint from Paul Everywhere. You probably saw this demo as well in the dev keynote, but I want to show you a little bit more of the capabilities of these apps in PowerPoint. So again, here I insert a new poll. In this case, I want you to help me ask this question. How familiar are you with apps for Office? I'm going to make it a multiple choice, so I'm authoring my poll here. And let's do one for you're just learning about them, two for I'm already developing apps for Office, and three if you have already released a project with apps for Office. So with that, I'm just going to say create poll. And you can see the app for Office is now running here. Now, one of the nice things about the Office integration here is I can change the design of this poll. And as I change the design of my presentation, you can see the poll automatically picks up the theme. So it's going to look right in the presentation that I use. For now, I'm just going to go back to my original theme. And thank you. I see people already responding to the poll. So you can send a text code with your answer, one for learning, two for developing, three for released. Just send a text code to this number using this code for the option. Or you can go to PaulEV/RolandoJ in your mobile browser and just select the option that you need. But we can see that a lot of people are learning. We have actually a few that have already released and some that are developing. But most of you are learning about apps for Office. So this is great. This gives me a lot of insights into the audience today. I want to show you one more thing. This works symmetrically as many other apps on the rich client as well as on the online client. So I'm going to save this presentation back to my SharePoint library. I want to go to that library where I saved this version. So I have that presentation right here, just updated a few seconds ago. I'm going to open it. So here it is. And I'm going to navigate to that slide. Okay, this is the slide before. I'm going to navigate that slide where I just inserted the app for Office on the rich client. I'm going to see how I have my poll, but it's not only the app that is there. You saw how the app preserved the state of the poll. So I have the same poll, the state of the app was preserved, and I can continue to use my presentation using the online client. So great symmetry between desktop and online. And you don't need to worry about as a developer about creating special code to work on this. So isn't that cool? So what did we see? So we saw new content apps in PowerPoint allow me to integrate rich web content and services into my PowerPoint presentation, working on the desktop and the online clients. We saw some new APIs that allow me to do theming. We also have new APIs for navigation across the PowerPoint slide deck, file handling, get the file, export it as PDF, export it as OpenXML. And we also have new Visual Studio Project templates to allow you to create these type of apps. Now, let's switch to Outlook. Let's see what's new in Outlook. Close here. So for Outlook, I'm going to start as a new project from scratch with Visual Studio and show you the end-to-end experience of creating these types of apps. So I'm going to come here, and select an app for Office under Office and SharePoint. Just leave the default name there. You can see there's a new wizard for some of you that have already developed created apps. There's a new project wizard here when I can choose the type of app. I can see there's a mail type, which I will select. And new with the Service Pack 1 and the tooling is the ability to create apps that integrate into read experiences as well as compose experiences. So I can extend email as well as appointments. So I'm going to click Finish and just let Visual Studio create a default project for me. And let's see what I get. So here's the basic structure of an app for Office. There's a lot of sample code that I can use. Let's just run this project without modifying it just to see what did I get. The first thing is that this is going to go to Exchange Online and deploy this app for Office automatically. So this is a very nice feature of Visual Studio. All I need to do is enter my credentials for the tenant that I want to deploy to, and it's going to automatically connect to it, package the app, deploy it to the central catalog based on my Exchange server, and make it available to all users eventually of that Exchange server. In this case, since it's a development environment, I can only see this app. So launches the browser on my email client. And now I can see here I have my Office App 1. This is the default experience. Haven't done anything. You can see it's just reading the subject and reading some of the to and from information. But what's new in Service Pack 1 is the ability to have apps in compose mode. So if I create a new email and open up the apps task pane, I can see my Office App 1 project here. And this app allows me to set the subject. This is using the Office JavaScript APIs that are already included in the project. I can read the subject. I can even modify the to and the CC lines. So all this is using our Office JavaScript API. Now let's make this app a little bit more interesting. There's a scenario I always wanted to enable here, which is sometimes I invite people to come to Microsoft campus, and we have a big campus with many buildings, and I want to give them instructions on how to get to the right building. And I spend some time finding the instructions every time. Wouldn't it be nice to have an app that does that for me and puts that information automatically for the email or the appointment that I'm making? So let's go ahead and create that app. Let me show you one of the cool capabilities of Visual Studio. I can actually modify this project without actually stopping my debugging session. I also have the newest tooling experiences for web projects. For example, in this case, I have the DOM Explorer. This is a new capability that is available for any web project. Since apps for Office are built on top of web technology, I can just take advantage of that and explore the different elements and then see what is the markup that it's providing that element. Now, for this demo, let's just come and extend the home HTML, which is basically providing the UI for that app. So I'm going to come here and add some reference, just adding a reference to jQuery UI. So this is another interesting point here that I can use any libraries I wish in this project because it's just a web project. I can use any third-party libraries I want. Now let's replace the default content provided by Visual Studio, and then let's do let's add a div to contain the list of buildings that I want to pick from. Now I'm going to go to my code behind that app. In this case, there's the compose app, and there's a home.js file. I'm just going to add a few functions at the end of this file. I'm going to add a couple of global declarations, an array for storing the buildings, and a reference to a service. This is a service I have hosted in Azure that is providing the list of buildings. Then let's provide a function to load those buildings. So all I'm doing here is make a request to that service and add the results to the div that I just added as an accordion control in jQuery UI. And lastly, I want to add a function to insert that information into the mail item or the appointment item. Oops. So let's add another function to insert. So this function is going to take the details of the building currently selected by index, and then build some HTML that I want to add to my email. And here is where we are using the new capabilities in Service Pack 1 as well. We're getting access to the body of the item. You can see how also Visual Studio provides me with great IntelliSense. And I'm using this type saying the content I'm providing is HTML. And in the case of an appointment, I'm checking the type of the item, I'm going to set the location to the building name. So the only thing I need to add is load the buildings on app initialize. So let's add that. I'm going to click save, go back to my running project, and just click refresh. So this is going to make the query to my backend service and populate that div with a nice accordion. Now, as you saw, I'm doing actually a cross-domain call between my client and Azure websites. How is that possible? Well, I'm using CORS, which is a web standard that allows you to do exactly that in a secure way. In this case, since I control both the service and the client, I can configure my server to allow those cross-domain calls, and I can make this happen. So in this case, I can see the buildings, I can see the images. You will notice that there's no Building 7 in Microsoft. You can search for that on the web. I'm pretty sure there's a big story about that. I can click here and say insert, and I can add those contents into my email. So we said that should work also on appointments. Let's try that. I can come here and add a new event. Here's my app. Here's my buildings. Let's pick this one and say insert. And you can see how the location got updated as well. So just with, thank you. Just with a few lines of code, I enabled a very cool scenario that actually can save me a lot of time. So let's stop this project. So what did we see? We saw the new capability to do compose apps for meetings and appointments. We didn't see the new attachments APIs, but if you're interested in learning more about this, there is a related session tomorrow that is going to go into details of all the different APIs and the tooling experience for how to create these type of apps. We also saw some of the tooling experiences in Visual Studio, like the DOM Explorer, IntelliSense, and how I can do F5 and debugging without stopping my project. Let's go to the next demo. Let's talk about apps for Office in Access. So for that, I'm going to start with, again, a new project from scratch. And in the dev keynote, we saw how easy it is to integrate an existing app for Office in an Access application. Access is the tool that we're providing to all information workers to create apps for SharePoint themselves. So it allows a great self-serve scenario for information workers. In this case, I'm going to choose a content type of app. I'm going to select this project template, which allows me to create a data visualization. And I'm going to leave the default. I want this app to work both in Access and Excel. So this is a new capability. Not only you can create apps for Access, but those apps that you create for Access can also work in Excel. So let's see how that looks like. So Visual Studio is going to create the default project for me. There we go. And let's just run this app to see what I got. By default, it's going to open in Excel. And this is just a sample app that allows me to insert some sample data. It creates a binding between my visualization project, which is just HTML and JavaScript using the Office JavaScript API. And it's bound to the data. So if I add new rows here, you can see how the visualization is taking the events and reacting to that. So for my Access app, I'd like this to be a little bit more sophisticated, so I like to highlight the row every time I select a different row. So let's add that functionality. Oh, by the way, the DOM Explorer, this is actually a pretty cool feature, also works here. So if I want to see what is the HTML element that I need to select and change the color on, I can just come here, select one of these bars, and I can see, oh, there's this div here that I need to change. So let's go ahead and change the code a little bit to highlight the selection. So I'm going to come to this home.js. This is the default code that Visual Studio generated for me. It's on initialize, it's calling this function to display the graph. It's going to check if there is already a data binding. If not, then it's going to create one, and it's going to display the data that it's bound and add a handler for the data changes. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to add a new handler to respond to selection changes. So here's my handler. This is, again, using the Office JavaScript API. I'm just using a handler to react to selection changes. And this is going to call a function to highlight that row. So that function doesn't exist, so let's add it. So here's the function to highlight the row. All I'm doing is changing the color of that div that I show you from dark green to red when that is selected. Now, let me take this opportunity to also show you a new capability in Visual Studio, which is the ability to debug against Excel Online. So instead of debugging in the Excel desktop client, I'm going to do it against online. So all I need to do is come here and change my debug target from desktop client to Internet Explorer, and then run the project. There we go. So all I need to do, again, is provide my credentials. Because I'm going to use the Excel Online version associated with my tenant. So all I need to do is provide my Office 365 credentials. And Visual Studio is going to automatically deploy my app to that tenant and run a new document where I can insert my app in Excel Online. So let's see how that looks like. So here's Excel Online running on my tenant. And here's the app that I just created. So let's see if my changes worked. Let's insert some sample data. And as I change the selection, I change the color of the bar. So I have a working app. This is what I wanted. But we said, this is about access. So why are we working in Excel? So let's see how this app can seamlessly move to Access and allow me to actually add additional value. I don't know, not only work in Excel, but only work in Access. So if you already know how to do apps for Excel, you already know how to do apps for Access. So let's close this one. In order to deploy to Access, I want to deploy to an existing app that I have in my tenant. Let me show that to you. So as we saw, we now release the ability to create Access apps. So information workers can come to a site and create Access app. In this case, I have this very simple demo that allows me to track students and their grades. So I'd like to make this visualization app available so that I can visualize the grades of the students using the graph that I just created. How do I do that? The first thing, I need to publish that app so that it can be consumed by Office 365. So as you see, the app has two projects. One is the Office integration project, and the other one is the web project, where all the web code goes. So let's go to the publish option in Visual Studio. And the first thing I want to do is create a new profile. Now, in order to publish this, I'm going to publish to Azure, just to show the great Azure integration within Visual Studio. So in Azure, I already have an account, and I have a website that I do for my demos. Here it is. All I need to do to publish this project to Azure is come to this management console in Azure and select, I want to download the published profile for Visual Studio. So I just downloaded that to my machine, so I'm ready to go. I'm going to import this profile in this publishing wizard. So here it is. This has all the configuration I need to just push this project I just created to Azure. Here, I can review This is the URL where it will be published. I'm just going to change it to HTTPS because that's a requirement from security perspective. All apps for Office need to be hosted in secure channels. I'm going to say publish. So Visual Studio is going to create that project in that Azure website, and it should be live as soon as this finishes. So now I can come here and see where that is. I can navigate to that URL, and you can see that it's live. So if you go and hit this URL, that project is there. So now I have the web project, but it's still not integrated to Office. How do I bring it into Office clients? All I need to do is now deploy the manifest file, which is basically the instructions on how Office integrates this into its clients. So I'm going to go to this option to package the file. Just going to change this to be the desktop client. And I'm going to package this app. I'm going to say the target URL is that Azure endpoint. It's going to generate me the manifest that I need. Now, all I need to do is put this manifest in the app catalog of my Office 365 tenant where that Access app lives. In order to do that, if I'm an admin, I can come here to SharePoint administration and see where that app catalog is. So I can go to apps, app catalog, and this is where I publish all the apps for Office, and as soon as I put something there, it will appear automatically in all the clients that that app for Office is targeting. So all I need to do is drag that manifest that Visual Studio generated for me, put it there, and that's it. I already deployed an app to my whole enterprise. In this case, I just have a couple of users, but imagine in a real-world scenario, every user in my company now has access to this app. So let me go back to this Access app and then see this new capability of inserting apps for Office. This is something that end users can do themselves. So if developers are creating these building blocks or visualizations or data connectivity to your internal systems, end users can come to their Access apps and insert them right there. So in this case, you can see here's my app, Office App 2, and I can insert it into this Access application. There it is. So same code that was working in Excel is working in Access. Now, the data binding experience is slightly different. It's the same API call that you make as a developer, but in the case of Access, there's no notion of a particular selection that I make. So in the case of Access, there's tables, and Access is prompting me, okay, this visualization needs two columns, needs a name and a grade. What do you want to use from your table? I'm just going to map those fields to the columns on my students table and say, okay, this is what I want. And then I'm going to display that app in Access. So with no effort, I have the app working in Excel and now working in Access. And of course, my selection code is working. So I can now see the student grades more easily in my Access app. So that's apps for Office in Access. So what did we see? We saw how we can enhance Access apps created by information workers with apps for Office created by web developers to provide custom data visualization, data import scenarios, external lookups. Like you can imagine, you can extend that data visualization pattern. As I select a student or a customer, I can go and fetch information from my CRM system and display it right there as a master detail. We saw how content apps can integrate into Excel and Access with a set of common APIs. So you don't need to learn different ways. We have a set of common APIs that allows you to target both clients. We also saw how easy it is to deploy apps using the corporate catalog. All I need is to get the manifest of my app and put it in the corporate catalog, and that's it. We saw how easy it is also to integrate into Azure. I just deployed my project to Azure within Visual Studio and made it available right away. And lastly, we saw the ability to debug against Excel Online, which is a new capability in Visual Studio 2013. Now, let's take a look at what is available in Excel. In Excel, So in Excel, we have enabled the ability to automate data import and data visualization scenarios. So we have extended these capabilities. But let's see what is possible today. In this case, I'm going to show you a very simple but powerful demo where I already have some data in my Excel spreadsheet. And I'm doing some data analysis on this data. Let's say I want to check the sales of my product in the different, states. And I want to see how that correlates with the population of a particular target audience. Now, there is tons of services out there in the web that allow me to get this information. In this case, Wolfram Alpha is a service where I can submit natural language queries and get very interesting information from the web. But I need to go to the website and submit a question each at a time. So we created a sample app for Office that I'm going to use here just to illustrate what's possible today in Excel. So I have this magic fill app that it's a task pane app in Excel that allows me to select a table. It's going to read the columns of the table. And I want to add the young adult population for each of the states. Now, I'm going to type a natural language query. Again, this is using the power of a service. I don't need to write all this code. This code was written by Wolfram Alpha in this case. So I'm going to ask for young adult population in, and I want to say in the column states. So it's going to iterate over all those columns. So I'm going to say add column, and that's going to add that data automatically for me. So huge productivity booster, right? Like, I didn't need to go and copy-paste, and it's automatically in my spreadsheet, right there. Now, as you can see, the data is not very nicely formatted. And that was one of the capabilities and the feedback we received. Hey, wouldn't it be great if we can control the formatting of the data in this type of data import apps? And that's exactly what we added in Service Pack 1. So let me show you an example. I can start with a very plain set of data, like this table here. I'm going to use an internal app that we created. Our test team created this app just to showcase what is possible with the new API. So I don't expect you to create a clone of the ribbon like we did in this case. But the point of this app is that I can come here, select this data, and you can see how I can do rich formatting with this data. This app is showing me the type of API that I need to call in this case. There is a new API to set the table options that allows me to control like whether I want a header row, banded columns or not. So you get the idea, right? You can customize this programmatically from within your app. And not only at the table level, you can also do it at the cell level. Like, for example, I can say for row 2, column 2, I want to make it red with white font. So the power that we now have for data import scenarios has increased. Now, you can import data and make it look really nice and match the design of the template where you're importing the data. So in Excel, we added these new formatting APIs. We improved the way in which we do data binding. Before Service Pack 1, you need to have a table in Excel, a real table object, so that you can bind to that table as a table. What we did is we extended this capability so that you can actually bind to data as a table, even if there is no real table, because we saw that a lot of users don't create real Excel table objects. So developers told us, hey, I can't bind to all sorts of data with this API. So we extended that to allow for that. And we also added some minor capabilities to enhance the data visualization patterns to allow binds to apps to bind on insertion. So when you insert your app, it can recognize what is already selected and automatically bind to that. So now let's switch to Word. And this is my last demo. So in Word, I want to take this opportunity to not only show you the new capabilities that we built into Word, but also show you how in Apps for Office you can integrate with the rest of Office 365 and bring services like OneDrive or Exchange into your App for Office solutions. So in this case, I'm going to open an existing project that I have. And this project, for those of you that attended either the keynote or the previous session that showed all the new capabilities for SharePoint and Office 365, this project builds on top of all those things. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I want to show you an application that already takes advantage of all of these. So this is just a sample application, but imagine that you already have an app like this. And I want to show you how to create an app for Office. You don't need to start from scratch. You have your existing project, and very likely you created in a nice way where if I resize this, it respects the size and accommodates the UI to look good in different form factors. This was created based on a Visual Studio template. This app in particular gives me access to information in Active Directory, so it's using the new Office 365 Azure integration. It allows me to query data from Exchange. So, for example, I can come here and see what are the latest events in my calendar just by doing REST calls to Exchange. And it also has this ability to list all the files in my OneDrive for SharePoint. But right now, this app exists as a website. I want to create and extend this app with an app for Office for a particular scenario. So let's see how we can go and do that. There is this very nice capability in Visual Studio that allows me to take any web project that you have and convert it to an app for Office. So I'm going to select that option. I'm going to select a task pane in this case. I will want to make it to Word for Word, but I'll leave the defaults for now. So let's see what Visual Studio comes up with. It's going to adjust the project and add some new functionality to it. Now let me show you the scenario that I want to enable with this project. I have these annual reports that we generate every year, and I want to have the ability to mark sections of the document for review. So we're going to use a new API in Word that allows me to bind to a section and then navigate back to that section. That's a new capability. And when the document is done, what I want to do is I want to take a PDF copy of that document and publish it to my OneDrive so that it's ready for sharing. So let's go and see how that's done. So Visual Studio Wizard, conversion wizard, finished. So I see the success page here. So let's see what happened. It's actually pretty simple. My web project is almost intact. There are a couple of things that change in my packages.config. The big thing that got added here is a new project for an app for Office. In this case, Office 365 sample.office. Now, in order to use this project, the first thing I want to do is I want to add that annual report document template so that I can debug using it. So I'm going to come here and add an existing item and add that document to my project. Once I've done that, I'm going to also tell Visual Studio to use that document as my debugging target. So instead of a new Excel workbook, I'm going to choose that annual report. So Visual Studio recognizes, oh, there's an Office document here. I can debug this app for Office using that document instead of a blank document. So, and that's it. The only other thing that I need to do is, because this app that I converted to App for Office integrates with other domains, and in Apps for Office, we have, for security reasons, this restriction that you cannot navigate to other domains unless you specify that those domains are part of your app. I'm going to add the domains that I use for security authentication also in my app so that those can be rendered inside the task pane. So all I need to do is go to the manifest file and say, these two domains where I authenticate are also part of the app, so don't pop out a new window. You can do it inside the task pane. So let's see where we are with just those two additions to this project. So the document that I just inserted started as my debug target. Now I can come here and insert the app that I just created. So it's going to load from my local host running my project. And you can see now the sample app that I showed you running on a browser, full browser, now shows inside the task pane. I can see all the options here. I can navigate to the different pages. So I can navigate to SharePoint and see the list of documents in my OneDrive. Now let's go ahead and extend this app to do my scenario. I want to be able to mark sections and be able to navigate to those and then publish the document as a PDF. So let's see how we go ahead and do that. So the first thing is there's a lot of code that I already written. I don't want to rewrite all that code. I want to reuse most of my code. So I have this SharePoint sample controller in this case that knows how to connect to SharePoint and bring information, knows how to do the authentication. I don't want to repeat all that code. So I'm going to just add some functions to that SharePoint controller to allow me to have a new view for my app for Office. So all I'm doing is adding a new view to that controller. This is an MVC for ASP.NET application. I'm going to reuse the functions I already had in my project to do the authentication, and if not authenticated, redirect to the right authentication URL, and then I'm going to render the view. Now let me provide that view. So let's do add view in Visual Studio and create a new blank view for my task pane. Now let's replace this with some content. So let's add some HTML to that view. So all I'm adding here is a reference to the JavaScript file. So you can see this is how I get access to the Word API using JavaScript. I'm adding the new version 1.1 of Office JavaScript that is available with Service Pack 1. I'm also adding jQuery again because I want to do some fancy UI. And I'm going to add a script behind. Now, I have some elements here. I have a review and publish section with an input for comments and a button to mark sections for review. I have a list of pending reviews in the document. And I have a form that allows me to submit this form to OneDrive, this document to OneDrive. So there's a hidden input to get the file stream, and there's an input to get the file name, and I'm going to call this function, get ready for submit. Now, the only thing I'm missing is I want, when I launch that app, I don't want the home page of the original app. I want to launch this new view page that I created. So I'm going to go to the manifest file of the app for Office, and instead of configuring the source location to be the root, I'm going to configure the source location for my app for Office to be that controller and that view that I just created. So I'm going to save all of that, click run, and then see where I am. So now I have my annual report document. I can come here, insert my app again. I'm actually going to save this document template so that I don't need to insert the app every time I debug. And let's see, there is the form that I just created. It's using my SharePoint controller. It already did the authentication for me, so I didn't have to sign in or anything. I already have the tokens to be able to talk to SharePoint. So right now the buttons do nothing because I didn't put the code behind. So let's go ahead and add some code there. So I'm going to go back to Visual Studio. And I want to add a script file to put all my new logic. And I'm going to call that appforoffice.js. As you saw in the view, I already have a script include for that file there. So all I need to do is go to that file and add some content. So let's do an initialization. So I'm going to have an array of bindings, which is how I'm going to track all the review items that I need. And then I'm going to load all the existing pending reviews. So I need to create that load function. So let's add a few functions to take care of loading the items and then showing them to the user. So in this case, this function is going to check if there is already existing items for review stored in the document. So I'm using this document settings API, which allows me to store the state of my app in the document so that I can retrieve it when the app is loaded from a particular document. And then I'm going to show the list of pending items with this show nav list. This is going to construct a set of list items in my HTML dynamically, and then eventually make that a selectable set of items. I'm also going to add a create binding function. This is the function that allows me to select some text and then have that text bound to so that I can later on come back to it. You can see how I'm doing an add binding from selection call API here. So this is going to take whatever selection the user makes and create a binding to that. And then I'm going to add that to an array of pending reviews and then save that array with the document so that I can retrieve it later if the document is closed and reopen. And then I'm going to have this function to navigate to a binding object. So let's see if that works. I'm just going to save. I didn't stop my debugging session. Just come here and refresh this app. So let's see what I got here. Now, if I come and select a section of the document, mark it for review, I created a binding to that selection. You can see this bounding box identifying that this section is now bound. There's a new item here representing that. I can say, oh, I want to review the numbers for the equity here and add some comment there. And there's another part that I want to review. The takeaways needs some work. So I'm going to add these. Now, when I click on those, you can see how I can navigate. So this is one of the new APIs that we added, the ability to navigate to sections of the document. So this allows me to put the user in the context they need to be to review the section. Of course, I can see how that binding navigation is done. I can put a breakpoint there. I can see this is super simple. All I'm doing is calling one function, go to by ID async, where I get the ID of the binding that I created before and navigate to it. So I already have the review part. Now I need to do the, I want to post the PDF to my OneDrive. So let's see how I can enable that. Now, all I need to do is I'm going to extend my SharePoint controller again with another function that allows me to receive the PDF stream from the client on my server-side code. I'm going to put a breakpoint to see how that gets processed. And I'm going to go to my client side, which is this script right here, apps4office.js, and add a function on the client side using the Office JavaScript API to retrieve the in-memory copy of the document with all the latest changes, package that as a PDF, and send it to the server. So there's a couple of functions here that I'm adding. I have an array to keep the binary representation of the PDF file. This is the function that will be called when I click the submit button. And then I'm calling this is the new API that we added in Service Pack 1, which allows me to get the file as a PDF. So because you can deal with very large files, this API is actually designed to be able to read the file in slices. So this is what this is doing. I have this process file async method that basically goes and iterates over all the different slices in which we split the document so that you can actually process the document without hanging the UI. So as you can see, this goes, and while there are slices to process, they will add them to file data async, just concatenate all that into that single variable. And then when we're done, we're going to submit the form. We're going to put the file stream in that hidden input that we created in the view, put the entire binary there, and then submit the form as a post. That's going to go to my server to be processed. So let's see how that works. So here's my app. It's authenticating with SharePoint, showing the UI. Now, I didn't save the document, so I lost my state, but I can create some new navigations for review. But let's say the file is ready. So I'm going to add a name to the file. I'm ready to publish, and I'm going to hit publish here. So the client side grabbed the PDF representation of the file, packed it as a binary stream, and sent it to the server as an HTTP post. Here, I'm receiving the HTTP post, and you can see I'm going to get the file stream from the form. So there it is. I have the byte stream of the file. All I need to do now is to upload it to my OneDrive. And for that, I'm going to use some existing classes in this project that take care of getting the service info for my OneDrive. So you can see how it took the endpoint and knows where to store that document. It automatically identifies where my personal files are there. And then the rest of the code is just going to create an HTTP request to make that API file API call to Office 365 and post the file. And then the last thing that I'm going to do here is, once I'm done, I'm going to redirect that to that existing page that I have in my original app that shows the contents of my shared files in OneDrive. So I didn't have to write that view. It was already there. So let's have this project run. I get here. This is the final line, just redirect. And then let's see. I can see the file has now been posted to my OneDrive. I'm displaying the contents of my OneDrive here, and I have the file there. So let's see if it works. So I can navigate to it. You can see it's from my OneDrive. And there it is, the PDF of the Word document. All right, so you saw the wide range of improvements that we made in Service Pack 1. So in Word, we added a new navigation and file handling APIs. We also did some work to improve apps when working in co-authoring sessions so that as an app developer, you can actually detect if you're co-authoring and have a better handling of your app state so that it's not lost when the users do co-authoring. We also demonstrated how to reuse an existing web project. You don't need to start from scratch. Actually, the Poll Everywhere app, as Brian mentioned in the dev keynote, that app was created in just 3 weeks. How that's possible? Well, that's because they didn't create the app from scratch. They already have all these assets for their web clients or for their mobile clients. They already have this nice UI that adapts to size. All they needed to do is add the connection to Office. And it was a very simple project that enabled a great service to be integrated in Office in less than a month. So that is great value right there in terms of reusing your existing assets. Now, we also saw how apps for Office are not a silo. You can integrate the richness of all Office 365 services, Exchange, OneDrive, and whatever we add in the future, you can easily integrate that into your app for Office to create these contextual experiences and enable custom functionality without having users to leave the context of their Office applications. So I want to just close with just a quick summary of some other common enhancements that we have done in Apps for Office. So we also did some work in the store. We allowed users to acquire apps from the store without having to sign in into Office with their Microsoft account. Or they can be signed in into Office with an Office 365 account, and they can still acquire apps from the store. This was not possible before SP1. We also enabled subscription licensing, so you can now create apps in the store and have a subscription licensing model to charge for it. We improved the UX and discoverability of apps. Brian showed how we have apps now pre-canned in the ribbon where you can insert them right one click away so that we expect users will now use apps from the ribbon more often. And then we added a bunch of improvements in terms of compatibility. So we introduced this new requirements-based model that allows you to create apps today that will work in clients in the future where the app may not be supported today. And you do this by declaring what are the requirements that you need for an app for Office in the host so that your app for Office can run. So for example, if you need the ability to get the file as PDF, instead of targeting Excel or Word or PowerPoint as your target, as your application that will host your app, you can say, I can run in any application as long as it provides me the ability to read the file as PDF. So by doing that, you can create applications that work today in Excel or Word, but if tomorrow we add the ability to get the file in PDF or PowerPoint, your app will automatically run there. So this is a great story for not only for cross-client compatibility, but also for version compatibility. You can also specify, I need this functionality to run. If a particular version of Office doesn't have that functionality, then your app won't run there. So it's a great way to manage compatibility. So now just to close, some key takeaways for this session. So the first one is, apps for Office, as you saw, are the means for developers to enable these contextual experiences that allow you to bring your custom services inside the Office applications. Second, Office 2013 Service Pack 1 brings a great deal of improvements for apps for Office, and we expect you guys to take advantage of these new APIs and new capabilities in Compose, in Content for PowerPoint, in Access, in Excel and Word. Third one, custom solutions are more valuable when they integrate across all the services of Office 365. So Office became very popular with end users because it is a suite of services that it's bundled together. For a long time, developers have targeted Office in a more siloed way. So you create Office for add-ins for Office or add-ins for Word. In the new world, we expect new apps for Office to actually integrate across the entire suite. So use Office 365 as a suite of services that your custom solutions can take advantage of. And then use the power of the suite as opposed to the power of the individual products inside it. And then last, you can leverage your existing investments. We saw how easy it is to take an existing web project and extend it to be an app for Office. And we saw how Paul Everywhere was able to do that in record time, less than a month, and have an app from zero to having it published to the store because they reused their existing investments. So call to action, explore the new APIs that are available both for apps for Office as well as on the service. Connect with the community. We have the links. We have the user voice. So please give us feedback. What do you like? What you don't like? What would you like to see more? And then start using the new tooling experiences that we saw. There is a new release of the Office development tools for Visual Studio that you can download and add to your Visual Studio environment and get all these new capabilities that we just saw today. So, related sessions. Tomorrow, there's going to be a talk to go a deep dive into mail apps. If you're interested in understanding apps in Access, there's also another talk that will cover that. There's another talk for OneDrive integration. And there's a couple of talks on Wednesday that will go into additional patterns and scenarios that you can enable with apps for Office, Azure, and mobile devices. So with that, please remember to evaluate. And we have 4 minutes left, so if people have questions, feel free to go to the mic or just come to the podium and I can take questions. Thank you. Thank you very much.